the Steelers Bottle Link Podcast. My name is James Strong, joined once again by my co-host Cody Tanner. Cody, how are you on this fine Saturday afternoon? Not even quite yet.
Yeah, it's not even evening. It's not even Sunday. It's Saturday. It's weird. You know what? We're recording on a Saturday for multiple reasons. One, it's just the time that we decided to record. We both had some free time, and tomorrow's Easter, so we want to make sure that we celebrate Easter. I have an Easter dinner to go to and church.
All the stuff.
So it'll be a good time. Happy Easter to all of you. But James, first off, how are you doing? How are you, sir?
Doing quite fine, man. You had my dad's 70th birthday / retirement party right before this, hence me running home feeding dogs while I was starting the pregame.
Your dad does not look 70, I'll tell you that much right now. Ladies, sorry he's taken, but he doesn't look 70. Bobby Strong will beat you up.
No doubt. Big show today, Cody. We've got some guests, right?
We do. We have some guests. So, without any further ado, let's go ahead and bring these guys in. Welcome in Noah and Nick. Noah Wagers, Nick Pretzel, friends of the podcast, friends of ours. So welcome in, guys. How are you guys doing today? Noah, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Nick, you all right?
What up, Steelers Nation? Doing great. Having a good time. To be on.
Oh, happy. We're all happy to be here and talk mock drafts. But before that, James, we obviously have our normal, Steelers news, Steelers updates. So what do we have first this week? Four signings to talk about.
Yeah, and some important ones, in my opinion, here. So last time we talked to you guys, the most recent signing since then is an addition of a speedy wide receiver by the name of Quez Watkins, coming off of his rookie deal with the Philadelphia Eagles, played all 4 years of his career in the NFL so far there, and known for his speed and deep threat ability. Ran a 4.35 40 when he came out in the combine, boys. This is a speed demon
for sure. Quez, what do you guys think about this? I want you guys' input. You guys are here for more than just mock drafts right now. Let's talk about Watkins signing. What does that do to our offense?
Well, to begin, not going into my mock draft, but I like the addition of Quez. I don't know a lot about him, but I do know his speed. I saw a couple clips on Twitter of just some of the playmaking abilities that he's had. That being said, I do know that dropping the ball has been a concern of his. So I guess we will see how it plays out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of adding more speed to the roster. Never a bad thing. Quez is an interesting pickup to me. I like it. Receivers definitely a need that we have going into this off season. So adding some more depth to the roster there never hurts. And also on top of that, I think that speed will be very well utilized in an Arthur Smith led offense. I think that seeing the way he ran the ball in Tennessee, seeing the way that he utilized different players when he was in Atlanta, I think that Quez is going to be a good fit for that Arthur Smith led offense.
Yeah. And I mean, Quez is only 26 years old, or he's 25 now. He'll be 26 at the start of the season. So more youth to this already insanely youth, just full offense that we have, the least expensive offense in the NFL, which is wild to think about that we got Russell Wilson and Justin Fields now under contract. Just incredible to talk about. And then we went on and also signed a quarterback. Obviously, we had two quarterbacks come in this offseason, both mobile quarterbacks. Kyle Allen joined the team. James, this was not, I don't want to say interesting, I didn't see this one coming, though. I saw the other two kind of potentials, and then this one kind of came out of the blue, literally.
I feel like this isn't a bad move because you don't expect him to be anything more than a number three quarterback, obviously, with the addition of Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. So you're looking for a guy with some experience. He's started a few games on a few different teams, been around the league a little bit. He knows his way around an offense, so he won't be a stranger. This also puts you in a position where you don't have to stress about trying to bring in a rookie quarterback and maybe a draft pick and an undrafted guy. And the back of your roster is a couple guys with absolutely no experience other than their college game. So at least you've got somebody that if someone goes down, he can be a viable backup quarterback if it comes to that. So I think it's a decent signing. You just don't ever want to have to rely on him as a starter. Pittsburgh did get to their third string quarterback last year. So you never know how that's going to play. But I think you could do a lot worse for a number three quarterback than Kyle Allen. So I'm fine with it. I don't think it moves the needle a ton, but okay. Quality player. He's all right.
Yeah. Yeah. His rookie year, he actually played fairly decent for Carolina when he only played in two games. But then since then, it just seems like he's bounced from team to team. He's been on four teams now in his short NFL career. We make his fifth. So interesting to see what can happen there. And again, another young guy. I mean, he's only 28 years old, and at the quarterback position, that's still very, very young. When you process most quarterbacks making it to the late 30s now, I believe Russell's in his early 30s, mid 30. Okay, yeah. So, and he could still potentially have a few good years left, depending. So, very interesting to see. And he's played for crap teams for the most part, outside of Buffalo last year, Carolina, Washington, Houston. None of those have been big name teams until obviously now Houston getting CJ Stroud in last year's draft. So, very interesting to see what happens there. You guys have anything to add? Quarterback, new quarterback, excited, not excited, don't care?
It was a bit of a depth piece, like James was saying. I didn't really see the signing coming, also like you said, Cody. But I remember sitting there at work and just being like, oh, huh, okay, cool. And, you know, put the phone back in the pocket. It wasn't really like a big splash signing that we've come to know and love from our beloved con artist. But it definitely changed my mock draft, though, because for a while there I had a number of times when I was running through it, going through, and I was taking a quarterback in one of the late rounds. So now that is unnecessary, and it enabled me to make some other moves. So interesting move, but not one that was overly big, like you guys were saying.
Yeah. Noah?
I think James, as well as Nick, said it best. That being said, I can get more in depth when it comes to my mock draft. I'll give you a little sneak peek. I hope the Steelers draft somebody maybe in the later rounds that can potentially beat him out. We know what Russell has. We kind of know what Justin has. But at some point, if everything fails, we may need to see that number three quarterback. And we know what Kyle Allen has. So who knows? We may need somebody else to potentially beat him out in training camp.
Well, I can tell you this much. Someone who's not going to be beat out in training camp is Dean Lowry. Pittsburgh signed defensive end Dean Lowry, I believe the same day as the Kyle Allen signing.
Yes.
This guy's played all of his career for the NFC North. He hops over to the AFC North. He had, I think, 8 years or 6 years, no, 7 years in Green Bay before heading to a 1 year stint in Minnesota. Not super in-depth stat line for him. He's probably more of a kind of filler gap, kind of like we saw Isaiah Loudermilk play. A couple of these other defensive line guys come in and play a certain role. I don't see Dean Lowry being any kind of starter by any means. James, what did you think about this signing?
Honestly, I was way more excited about that than I was Quez Watkins or Kyle Allen. To me, this is a very high-quality backup defensive lineman. In my opinion, possibly an improvement over Armon Watts, who seemed to be the top backup defensive lineman last year. He's coming off a season with 5 sacks, so he does have some ability to get off of after the quarterback, known for being stout against the run. He's 6'5", 296, just that right size of what we look for in defensive ends that kick inside and play D-tackle in nickel and dime formations. Just a little bit short on the arm length. He's only got 31-inch long arms, but you know what? He's already been in the league long enough to overcome that as an issue. Some guys, it's not much of an issue. Some, it's a major issue. So don't expect him to take Larry Ogunjobi's job or anything like that. But if somebody goes down, I feel like this is similar to like Chris Wormley, where he's a way better than average backup defensive lineman. But as a starter, you're hoping for a little bit better. So I think as a depth piece, I really like it personally.
Yeah, and he's coming off a torn pectoral muscle from last year. Didn't get much playing time in Minnesota. Curious to see how well he plays or performs in any offseason action he might get if he makes it through training camp again. Torn pectoral muscles aren't typically something you see NFL players having issues with coming back from, for the most part, if they allow the injury to heal properly. Now, I mean, we see TJ come back from the torn pec and everything, this and that. yeah, we shake our head about that one. But I think that, like you said, a filler piece, a role that he can have. His best season so far was in 2021 with Green Bay with 5 sacks. If he can come in and even give us half of that as a second or third string defensive end, I'd be pretty happy with that. So, yeah, let's talk about the next guy. This is probably the one that we're all most excited about. So I'm excited to talk about this one. Pittsburgh did bring in running back and kick return man Cordarrelle Patterson to a 2-year, $6 million deal. Now, Cordarrelle Patterson is the NFL all-time kick return touchdown leader and is still performing in the NFL. Everyone talks about Devin Hester this, Devin Hester that. Devin Hester definitely hasn't beat as far as punt returns, but kick returns, this is the guy. And this came mere hours after the rule change, which we'll get into that later, that the NFL made with kickoffs. So what do we guys think about that? Anyone take their pick. Anyone can go.
So I really like the addition of Patterson. I don't think it's shocking that the Steelers added him after the rule change. He has experience with Arthur Smith in Atlanta. So I'm excited to see what he can bring to not only the special teams, but to our offense. So, I mean, I'm a big fan of the pick.
Nick?
Yeah, I mean, the addition just makes sense. When you can go out and get a guy, one, that your offensive coordinator is familiar with from his time in Atlanta, to two, the best, actually what should have probably been my first point, the best kick returner in the NFL at this point in time. Mm-hmm. He is getting a little bit older, but to that point, even so, he's still got a lot of juice left in the tank, and I'm excited to see what he does. Not a big fan of the rule change, but I think in light of it, it makes a whole lot of sense to be making this pickup. And on a two-year, $6 million deal, I'll take it any day.
Yeah, great value in my opinion here. His resume as far as a kick returner, extremely impressive. We now have three guys on the roster now who are Angry Run Champion Award winners last year. Cordarrelle also got that award along with Jalen Warren and Najee Harris last year. So three guys on the roster now. I think this basically ends the competition at running back before training camp even starts. They almost never carry a fourth running back, and you got three guys that are guaranteed to make the roster now. So that's tough if you're an undrafted running back that comes into Pittsburgh, because you're really going to have to impress. You're going to have like a Jalen Warren type preseason for them to even consider keeping you on the 53-man roster and making room for you, especially since Arthur Smith known for using a fullback as well. So love the potential of him as a kick returner. New emphasis on kick returning this upcoming season. Less dangerous of a play, his hard running style. I like everything about it, you know. You're not paying him a crazy amount of money. It's, yeah, bring him in, man. Anybody, you give these two-year, $6 million deals out to anybody that's this talented, I'm in, man.
Yeah, I mean, let's be real here. If any kind of undrafted running back comes in, he has to be willing and able to block at this point, because you could stack him
and play special teams
and play, because you could stash him on the team as the fullback or whatever you want to do if he's able to, obviously. But with that being said, I'm already picturing the kind of motion and movement that we could potentially do out of this offense. If you think about a normal lineup and then you think, oh, wait, let's take a tight end out or a wide receiver out, and then you have all three in the backfield. If you have Russell Wilson or Justin Fields under center, and then you have Cordarrelle back here, Jalen Warren over here, and Najee as the triple head, and you move two of them one way, a tight end rotating the other way with pulling guards, you can do whatever you want with that kind of offense. And I would love to see that. I mean, there's already talks about, when we talked about this last week, James, where Arthur Smith could be putting up designing plays with both Russell and Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. And then you talk about having these three guys. I'm like frustrated because I'm already worried that our offense is going to suck. And I'm like, there's no reason on paper for it to suck. And then you obviously get into the conversation of George Pickens, Calvin Austin, that this offense is firing on all cylinders as far as on paper and the firepower they have. Darnell Washington, all these guys. So I'm super excited to see what's going to happen. James, let's talk rule changes before we get into these two boys' mock drafts.
Yeah, some exciting ones in my opinion. First off, the kickoff rule has been changed. If you watched the XFL last year, it is basically that. As far as trying to make it a safer play, it's absolutely going to be a safer play. All the players other than the kick return man, which I think there's going to be two now, one on basically each side, one left, one right, and the kicker, are everybody else is going to be lined up 10 yards away from each other. So it's going to look funky because the kicking team is going to be 50 yards downfield already, but nobody's allowed to move until the return man catches the ball, and then chaos ensues, and it's almost like a run play. You'll have 10 defenders and 9 blockers and the return man trying to get over to block somebody, and it's fun, and the collisions are way less dangerous than what they were before. So for shelf life for these players, for these back end or the roster guys who are trying to get it to prove themselves, to get on offense, to get on defense, whatever, they're way less likely to get injured on this type of kickoff play than they were on a normal kickoff play, because the collisions will be so much lower speed and impact collisions. So I like it, and I think this is going to put a lot more emphasis on return men that are not small, skinny, fast dudes as much as they are shifty and powerful and able to break a tackle. Because you're going to get hit. It's going to be very rare that you get through this without getting hit. But you're not going to be having the space to make people move and miss as much because things are spread out so much. So I'm a fan of it. I like it.
Yeah. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens. And I'm very curious to see what players teams now use, because you almost can argue using bigger name players as those return guys as – you're going to see different kind of returns happening and different things in player safety. So I'm very interested to see how the NFL handles this. You boys have anything about the kickoff rule? Hate it, love it, like it, dislike it, wish they'd change something?
I was a bit more of an opponent of this rule when it first came out. James, his lovely explanation kind of shifted my opinion on it a little bit. So thank you for that, James. I was really not looking forward to this when it first came out. To me, the NFL was preaching player safety and then refusing to listen about the switch from turf to grass that all the players are calling for anyway. They preach player safety and then don't listen to the players and what they're calling for, was my sort of view on it. And also, it seemed more like they preach how they want, like, this high-intensity offense. You know, that's what the NFL is going towards, is what everybody is talking about. And then it sort of seemed like cheapen the offense by changing the kickoff was my initial view of it. But I mean, the more I've seen about it, and I haven't really seen the XFL's kickoff, so I've started watching some of the videos of that. I'm interested to see how it goes. Not overly optimistic about the change, but I'm definitely interested to see what types of shifts happen with, you know, you got different guys in the backfield now and two of them instead of just one. So it brings in a lot more strategy. So it'll be interesting to see how those pieces look, how rosters move, all that kind of stuff.
And I think both of you, both Nick as well as James, discussed that well. My perspective on it is I would have just liked to have seen them do it in a preseason format before they just say that it's gonna happen. Other than that, I mean, I like the move. I like the idea that our star players aren't going to be getting hurt just on a kickoff. That being said, I do like the component of a surprise onside kick, and obviously that can't happen anymore. So,
correct. And so the onside kick now has to be declared beforehand and is only an option in the fourth quarter. Also with this rule, you can't just kick it out of the back of the end zone without there being a penalty for that. It comes out to like the 40 or something crazy if you kick it out of the back of the end zone. So there's a whole lot of different things now to encourage teams to return the kick. Don't think that somebody can just go get the next Sebastian Janikowski and kick it out of the back of the end zone every time and you get it at the 20 and it doesn't matter. So you also need two good kick return men, right? We just went out and spent all this money on a great kick return, man. What if they just kick away from him all season long? He never gets to return a single kick. So we better make sure whoever's on the other side of Cordarrelle can also return it. My vote's Jaylen Warren, by the way.
I'm pulling for Calvin Austin. I like how speedy he is.
Yeah, he's too small.
That's my worry.
Yeah.
That's my worry, is that he's so small, he won't be able to block anybody if they can't get the corner out.
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, and here's the other thing, Noah, to go kind of back to what you said about hoping they, or wishing they would have put this in a preseason game first or something. They are open to making changes as they see it play out. That was also discussed actually on the Pat McAfee show. I watched an interview where they discussed that. And one of the owners was talking, you know, this isn't saying this is the way it's going to be week one. It's saying that, hey, we want to try it this way and see if there's any improvement to the game and to that play specifically. They wanted player safety, but when they switched the kickoffs and moved it up and tried to do different things for player safety, it went from a 70% return rate to a 20%. So it was 70% of those plays were returned. And then once they moved it, it was 70% of those plays weren't returned. 70-30. So, excuse me, it went from 70-30 to 30-70. And they want to get it more towards around 50% or a little. They want it well over 50 is what the one owner said in the interview I watched. He's like, we want this playback. We want the kick return excitement that people watch. Because at a 13 kickoffs in the Super Bowl, none of them were returned. They all were taken either knelt in the end zone or just let kicked out of the end zone. And it was a boring thing to do. You might as well just give it to them at the 25 and say, here you go. So I like the fact that the NFL is trying to stay modern with it and exciting and keep people and players engaged throughout every single play. But I am curious to see if they make any changes after we see some things happen in preseason. So that is the thing.
I'm just going to miss Butker hitting the uprights from the opposite of the field.
Yeah. Right. You can still do it. You just go and give them good field position. We also saw a defensive play call change or penalty technically. And this one's very interesting. So it's the hip dip tackle, which is basically where you basically wrap someone around and just drop your whole weight. So you pull them down. We saw a lot of players, specifically one of the Bengals, Logan Wilson, did this a lot and actually injured two Baltimore Ravens in the same game. Mark Andrews, who was out for the year. It's where you wrap up and then just drop your weight and you typically roll up on the player's legs or this, that. Again, player safety issue. And I heard something interesting when this was discussed. They're looking for this not to be penalized during the game as much as it is, hey, this happened, we're going to fine you for it. So still steering players away from doing this and getting good tackling, but being able to have proper consequences to players who don't take player safety quite as serious. And a lot of defensive players are, you know, very upset about this. How do we feel about it here at Steelers by the Lake?
I want to hear Noah's opinion on this first as somebody who plays football currently.
Yeah.
As an offensive player, you kind of just know what you're getting into. Me personally, I'd rather take a hip drop tackle than a helmet to the head. I think that it's hard to play defense in the NFL in today's game. And like Mike Mitchell said before, we might as well put the flags on. I'm not a big fan of the new rule. I didn't know that it was going to be a fine, though. I thought it was going to be a penalty.
So they're going to try not to call it in games, as what I've heard through multiple sources and multiple interviews that I've watched. But they want to have something stated to where they can actually go and say, hey, this happened. It was just happening so much with player safety as an issue. They don't expect it to be called all the time. But I guarantee you, if you see someone do that, like the way Logan Wilson did it to Mark Andrews for the Ravens last year, it's going to get flagged because of how serious that injury was.
So I guess it's just like you just never know when it's going to get called. I mean, what happens if it happens in the fourth quarter? It's a pivotal play and it happens. I mean, I feel like they should just make it a penalty or just let them play.
Yeah.
So
they just made it really easy for the referee to be heavily involved in the outcome of a game because it's a very common tackle that happens all the time and very rarely ends in someone being injured. Only if you roll up on them, basically, do they get injured. Sorry, Nick, I'll guarantee I'll give you a chance to talk after me, but I'm pretty passionate about this one. I'm not a fan of this at all. I think you have just made it impossible for someone in trailing position to tackle someone now. So You can't grab him by the back of the shoulder pads. We've all decided that is a bad idea. I get that. I'm 100% for that. Do not horse collar tackle somebody that's like ACL injury guarantee, basically. So can't tackle him high. You can't grab him by the face mask. Again, we don't want him to do that either. You're going to hurt somebody doing it that way. Can't grab him by the waist to bring him down if you're behind them. So what are you doing, diving at their legs? Is that going to cause less injuries by diving at their legs? I would argue it'll probably cause more injuries if you're diving at their legs, because you're going to be head first if you're from behind them. So we just made it extremely difficult to legally tackle somebody from behind. I am all for player safety. I think what they needed to do was kind of say, hey, what we're looking for you to do instead of dragging them down is drive through them to tackle. Keep driving your legs and you won't have an issue with it being a hip drop tackle. That's fine for tackling from the front or from the side. It doesn't work if you're tackling someone from behind. That's where the big issue is going to be on this. So they got to come up with something that's okay for somebody to tackle someone from behind. Otherwise, what's the point to even have speedy guys on your team? You might as well, if somebody gets in front of you, you might as well just let them run the rest of the way because you're not allowed to tackle.
To your point on going low there, James, just ask Nick Chubb when he got hit by Minkah Fitzpatrick this past season. You're going low, you're going to get your knee busted. You know, I mean, like, they say you can't go high, and now you can't go low, and now you can't go for the midsection and wrap them up and tackle them. Like J.J. Watt and Noah and a couple other people were saying, bring out the flags. You know, it's what we're going towards if we can't even grab a guy and pull him down. And I think it was on the Rich Eisen show. I can't remember who he was talking to, but somebody was saying, you know, we don't even have a really solid definition of what the hip drop tackle is. Like, there's a very vague description, but we can't even define it. And somehow we have stats on it already and how many people are getting injured with this very vague description of what this tackle is. So if you can't tell by what I've been chiming in and what I've agreed with you guys on, I am also not a fan of this rule at all. I let the kids play, you know, like, at what point does football stop becoming football and it becomes flag? Like, I don't like it at all.
Yeah, my biggest concern is this is going to be a situation like what we ran into with Jaylen Warren last year, where he wasn't getting penalized during games for lowering his head to block people, but he was getting fined every week, and they were taking away his game check dang near every week.
I mean, yeah, yep.
A lot of those were getting appealed, but still, he shouldn't have to fight to be able to get his paycheck for doing his job. I don't like it at all, especially when you go to this review process and holding the right to throw the flag if you want to, but we're probably just going to fine you instead and take your money away for playing the game.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's why I like the other potential rule they were discussing with potentially bringing in the challenge late in the game. I know that I don't believe that's officially been adopted yet, but that would make this at least a little better if they could challenge these rulings. Because like you said, you know, it comes down to 2 minutes left in the game when you're not able to challenge, and then you get called on a hip drop tackle for what they're saying is going to be a 15-yard penalty.
15.
And it's going to be like that meme I saw on NFL memes where Josh Allen is sitting there like, Josh Allen loses in the divisional round to the Chiefs on a controversial hip drop tackle, you know, like that's what things are going towards.
Yeah. Yeah. Any way that they can control the game. And I do feel that the refs have too much control of the game. And I think you have to kind of find a way, to remove that control and remove that moving forward. But again, I mean, Nick, you raised the question, how do you properly tackle a player now? I mean, we've run into that question already with quarterbacks. You can't drive through a quarterback because if you land on him with all your weight, that's a penalty. You can't dive at their legs because if you happen to take their legs out or below the knees or whatever, that's a penalty. You can't, I mean, you got to get the flags. I can't agree with you guys more. I do like the idea of player safety, but I think they're making it just incredibly harder to play football, quite frankly, and it's not going to be football for much longer if they continue along with this path. Another rule change that's not exactly a rule, but kind of a rule, trade deadline. This was something that the Pittsburgh Steelers actually specifically are the ones that put in this request to have the trade deadline pushed back one more week. It makes sense. We had it one more week of football. Why not add one more week to the trade deadline? So the trade deadline is now posted for Tuesday after week 9 instead of the Tuesday after week 8. I'm sure that this will be something that comes into play this year because maybe an injury in week 8 happens or this or that, whatever. But I like the idea of extending the period that players can trade. Any other inputs on that rule?
Call this the Cole Holcomb and Quan Alexander rule, because that's exactly why Pittsburgh put this in. They actually tried to get it moved to week 10. The NFL said, how about week 9? And they said, okay, good enough. Yeah, that's exactly what's going on here, is the Steelers got devastated by injuries and then were unable to trade to acquire anyone and bringing guys out of retirement to play middle linebacker. So I'm a fan of it. I think it's just fine. Don't push it back to like week 14 and get it to the point where teams are eliminated from the playoffs and doing dumb trades. Just I don't want to see that. So let's not go too far backwards with it. But I think week 9 is not a bad move. And if they add an 18th regular season game, then going to week 10 probably makes sense.
Giving another week for the con artist to cook is okay in my book. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, hell yeah, man.
Yeah, James, one more rule to talk about before we get into these boys' mock drafts. What do we got?
Yeah, so the I don't have a lot of notes on that. Our notes are fine. It's the injured reserve rule. So what they changed here is something I'm really excited about, and it's probably going to fly under the radar for a lot of people. They're probably not going to talk about it this much. In previous years, if you got injured in the preseason, if you were going to go on the injured reserve and be able to come back that year, you had to be placed on the original 53-man roster after the beginning of the regular season, right? So they would carry you for one day, move you to injured reserve, and then bring somebody that you already cut back onto the 53-man roster. Now you're allowed to take two guys that were injured in the preseason, maybe even before that. Let's say Cole Holcomb doesn't come back from his knee. He's not ready to play by the beginning of the regular season. They'll be able to place him directly to the injured reserve and have him still be eligible to come back on the same season. So I don't think anyone is hurt by this, and I think everyone wins. I love the rule. This would have made things so much easier for guys in previous seasons to be able to come back the same season. Like Corey Trice would have been eligible last year. They would have been able to carry him on the injured reserve out of the preseason. Now, I don't know if he was healthy enough to play by the end of the year, but if he was, it would have been a possibility. So I'm a big fan of this. I love this decision by the NFL.
Yeah, go ahead, Noah.
No, I think James said it best. I mean, I'm a big fan of that, and it makes sense.
It does. It's exciting to get potential more players, especially young guys, the Corey Trice situation, that just have an injury during training camp or preseason, and then they just completely lose a year of football just because they weren't able to be active going into the regular season. So I like that rule. That is very exciting. James, we're going to decide with a coin toss here on who goes first for this mock draft. We're very excited. There's the coin. There's heads. Show the tails. There's no calling it twice. You call it once. Who are we giving the call to, James?
Since Mr. Wagers is wearing the home team jersey, I think it's only right that he gets to make the call.
Well, thank you, Nick.
Technically, all right, you ready? Calls it, but that's fine.
Yeah.
Call it in the air. Here goes the flip. Go.
Heads.
Oh, boy, it's on the ground. You're going to have to trust me on this one, boys. It landed tails up. Never fails, and Nick gets to go first.
Okay. All right, well, kicking things off with my first 2024 NFL mock draft for the Pittsburgh Steelers. With pick number 20, I have us going to a familiar place and a familiar position. I have us taking Amarius Mims, offensive tackle out of Georgia. Who doesn't love the Georgia Bulldogs when you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan? And who doesn't love grabbing a teammate of Broderick Jones, our current right tackle? I think with Amarius Mims, you can put him into the right tackle position, slide Broderick back over to the left. I think it just makes sense. You know, it's a perfect fit. He's a big body. He's great in the run scheme. And I just, when he was available, I did have a bit of a hard time because I also had Troy Fotanu available at this point in time. So it was like, which big, powerful, good hands bodied offensive lineman do I take? There were also a couple defensive people there. Nate Wiggins was still on the board, top corner in the draft, and Cooper DeJean, who's like the Swiss Army knife of this draft, who I really think Tomlin will definitely have an eye on. But I couldn't resist shoring up the offensive line, especially with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields coming in, get him some good protection, get a guy who's going to be comfortable playing opposite Broderick Jones. It was a no-brainer for me, and I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on this pick.
Yeah, I know.
Cody,
that,
you want to go first?
Yeah, I will. I know that James and I hear that Cooper DeJean was available. We both get a little antsy. but no, shoring up that offensive line, shoring up that offensive front when you have two new quarterbacks coming into a system, and we struggled to protect the quarterback last year and just open up holes for the running game, is a great thought, a great idea. I know there's plenty of mock drafts that I could do where I'd probably make that same decision. And again, the weakness here that I personally feel and have seen talked about is he only has 8 career starts in college, which is astonishing to think that he's this highly sought after and had an injury and surgery last year. So again, a pick that I don't want to say I'm sold on, but I would be satisfied if Pittsburgh decided to go this way.
So one of the big things with tracking the Steelers in recent years and getting an idea of who they're going to take, at least in the first round, is did Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan, now used to be Kevin Colbert, of course, go to the pro day? Georgia, definitely on the list of teams that they both went to the pro day. So we're going to crack one for you. Well done, Nicholas. This is an energy drink. I am a fan of the pick there. That's a good pick. Amarius Mims, tall, long, super athletic. Why didn't he start 2 years ago? Because Broderick Jones was there starting. So we would have bookend, very athletic, very large and powerful offensive tackles. He's on that short list of guys that make sense from the 4 major universities that both Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan went to. I'm not going to mention the other 3 in case you guys don't know who they are. So I like the first pick. Offensive tackle definitely should be something that Pittsburgh should be looking to address. I'd say at least within the first 3 rounds. I think if you wait till the 4th round, it might not be an improvement over Dan Moore. And that's the goal, right? The goal is to get somebody better than Dan Moore, not necessarily to play on the left side. Ideally, Broderick goes back to left.
Yeah, and to your point, Cody, that he played a few games, the one thing that I saw a lot of analysts saying is that can be a good thing, it can be a bad thing. You know, like on one hand, he doesn't have the experience. On the other hand, his best football could be ahead of him. So it was a bit of a concern for me, but just his ability to crash into the secondary as well was really what led me to pick Mims over Fotanu as well. For my second pick, round pick with pick number 51, I was screaming inside. So I'm sure a lot of the listeners will also be screaming inside because I did not go wide receiver with the second round pick. I decided to go with Zach Frazier, center out of West Virginia. We do not have a starting center on the roster. And Tomlin was caught at the owner's meeting afterwards in their little round table discussion saying, you know, there's only so many guys at the center's position that are plug and play. And I think Frazier is one of those guys. I wanted to take Powers Johnson with the first overall pick, but since he was not available, I went offensive tackle and Frazier was sitting right there for me. It was a toss up between Frazier and Jalin Polk for me. Polk's a wide receiver out of Washington who I think would fit really well in our offense. He's got the speed definitely to make himself a valuable piece, and super solid hands too. But you know, we need a starting center. There's not a guy on the roster. Frazier's a good fit in my opinion. And I just had to take a center here because I couldn't allow that offensive line to be without a center. And I think Frazier is one of those plug and play guys that Tomlin was talking about.
Yeah. I think that the important thing here to note is sometimes the drafts aren't all fun and games. Sometimes you don't get new toys. Sometimes you get tools that you need to succeed and build a franchise. It sucks. It does suck. We all want to see, oh, we got a new fast guy, or, oh, we got a freak George Pickens number 2 or whatever. There's a lot of talk about a wide receiver that would be, you know, hand in hand freakish athlete along with George Pickens. I won't get into any names in case people decided to draft him. But with that being said, this would almost completely shore up that offensive line. You know, you have James Daniels and Isaac Siamalu both at the guard position. This would kind of shore up your draft right now gives us our starting 5 day 1. Those are more than likely the guys who are playing. I can't imagine that Mims wouldn't win out. And Frazier, again, with no other center really on the roster right now. Spencer Anderson, I think, still on the roster, if I'm not mistaken. I don't believe Pittsburgh released him, and he's capable of playing inside. You have Herbig as well, potentially playing center. Again, this is kind of a pick that gets us to the point where we have our starting 5 offensive linemen. So, again, interesting, makes sense, quote unquote boring, but it is what it is, and I like the pick.
Yeah, Zach Frazier is a perfect fit for the scheme. It's a dream come true. I fear, based off of things from a lot of people have as like top 30 best available players in this entire draft at any position, I fear there's a chance he won't be there for Pittsburgh at 51, and they might have to do something about that, either trading up or taking him into the first round if they want him. But as far as size and frame, a densely built dude, almost 6'3", 313 pounds, arm length over 32 inches, so he's hitting that minimum threshold for us on the arm length. You don't want him below 32. That's when they start getting into those T-Rex arms like Kendrick Green, where you can't block a soul. So I'm in. I think Zach Frazier is easily the number two center in this class, and I agree with Cody completely. And I wouldn't say almost solidifies the offensive line. I would say it does solidify the offensive line.
You never know, injuries, this, that, whatever. You never know.
Yeah, yeah. But as far as talent, man, that's a hell of a starting five at that point, man. All you got to do is worry about in a couple of years whether or not Isaac Seumalo falls off. But the way he's playing right now, I'm not worrying about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so moving right along with pick 84, here's where I address the – desperate need that I think we have for receiver, even though we did pick up a couple guys who I think can still have an impact. I went with Ricky Parcell out of Florida. The fact that this guy was still on the board for me at pick 84 was shocking to me. In all of the mocks that I have run, he goes off the board early second round, which I think may be a little high on him. But even so, I'm super high on Ricky Parcell. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right, but I have been watching a lot of his film ever since the combine. And man, this dude can move. He's got hands. He wins on the contested catches. I can't say enough good things about Ricky. And if he falls to the Pittsburgh Steelers in a draft like this, and this is how things go, I will be living a good life. I will be cracking an energy drink with James and celebration, because man, if this is how it falls, that's all. I can't even, I'm just gushing at this point.
So you got to figure wide receiver is something Pittsburgh absolutely has to address by the third round, right? There's two third round picks right now. Got to get a wide receiver by then, because chances are he's going to start in front of Van Jefferson or Quez Watkins if he's a good enough quality player. This is an excellent route runner, Ricky Pearsall. So you're real close on the pronunciation. He is a 4.4 140 guy, which is pretty dang fast for a white guy, or an insane route runner. So a very accomplished dude that you could put on the field right away. I don't know about his blocking. That's the only thing that I would question. But you know what? At least he's not a little midget out there. So 6'1", 189, 180. It's a good size kid. So I think this is somebody that you would be real excited about. With losing Deontay Johnson, you need somebody that can separate and is a really good route runner. That's exactly what Ricky Pearsall is.
Yeah. They also, I remember watching the draft the NFL draft combine, and they compared him to Chris Olave from last year. So I think he ran maybe two. Chris Olave, 6 foot. This guy's 6'1", 187 to 189. Olave ran a 139. He ran a 141. Yeah.
What are you talking about? 139 and 141.
It's 439 and a 441.
Okay.
And they had the exact same 10 yard split.
Okay.
So very comparable numbers on those guys. Not saying their playing style or anything like that is comparable, but when you think about the athlete that Chris Olave was, this guy's hand in hand right there with him. Again, I don't know as far as bench presses, he only put up 17. But again, for a wide receiver, long arms. Wait, I know, only 17. I'm just talking.
17's incredible for a wide receiver, dude.
But from a block, I'm just processing you talking about his blocking. If he can get there, he can move somebody. I don't know how his stance is, his blocking, you know, the technique.
Yeah, his technique, yeah.
So, again, very interesting. I mean, this is a guy that would probably, again, I mean, you're 3 for 3 on starters at this point, so that's impressive.
Yeah, things were falling in a way that I really liked in this mock, so I didn't even have to do any trades, and I was getting guys that I liked. And speaking of guys that I liked, with pick 98, I did find a guy who I thought could potentially challenge Larry O for his job in McKinley Jackson, defensive tackle out of Texas. He's a big dude, and he's great in the run blocking, which I think was an area that we really kind of had an issue with last year. Now, granted, that was due to injuries to Cole Holcomb and Quan Alexander, and we didn't have the middle linebacking core that we had before, but we've made some moves this offseason in terms of middle linebacker, big moves this offseason. And I think that shoring up the D tackle, you know, Cam Hayward's not getting any younger either. So I don't know that he would necessarily be able to fill in either of those roles, but he could also definitely be a depth piece. And he's a big-bodied guy out of Texas A&M. And I just really liked the fit. And so I pulled the trigger on him.
James?
So there's your new nose tackle that would allow Keanu Benton to go out the defensive end. 6'1", 326 is a massive man. Love the arm length at 33 7/8. That's great. Need that on the defensive line to be able to disengage versus offensive linemen. You're not real worried about his speed, and his speed isn't there, and that's fine because he's a nose tackle. So I think that's a good value in the third round. That's a great depth piece that could be a future starting nose tackle for Pittsburgh when Keanu Benton makes the full transition to defensive end.
Yeah, I like the pick. Again, once you get to those later third, fourth, fifth round picks, especially in this draft doesn't seem, James and I've talked about this, this draft doesn't seem super deep in a lot of areas. And getting a quality backup at defensive end late third round, that's something that I think we can take. I mean, unless you're looking to, again, we just signed a quarterback, so we have three on the roster. Unless you're looking to bring somebody in to try and rival Justin Fields or Russell Wilson, which I don't think there's a point to that. I like the pick for sure.
I see that smile, Noah.
Yeah, and like you said, Cody, at this point in the draft, I wasn't really looking for like a day one starter kind of guy. I'm trying to find a deeper value. And same thing with these next couple of picks. I drafted a little bit more according to need, but also guys that I thought could be either a depth piece or guys that could be developmental. So with pick 119, I went with cornerback Sam Hart out of Notre Dame. I didn't feel necessarily the need to take a corner as early in this draft just because we already have Corey Trice on the roster. I really like him. Obviously, we didn't get to see as much of him due to injury, kind of similar to what happened with Calvin Austin. But Calvin Austin was able to bounce back pretty well, and I'm hoping Corey Trice will be able to do the same. We also got the Dante Jackson trade for Deontay Johnson. Or is it?
Yep.
Yeah, something like that.
DJ for DJ.
DJ for DJ. Again, corner, I didn't see as big of a need, so I addressed it here. I like the kid. I think he can play. I think he could develop into something later on, but just addressing a need at this point that I thought we could use some extra depth for was kind of where I went with this pick.
So prototypical size, what Pittsburgh seems to now like in their outside corners, 6'3", 202, 33-inch long arms. Not great on his 40. He got a 4.50, which is kind of adequate on speed, but not slow. So, hey, you're getting a lump of clay guy who fits with what Pittsburgh's looking for. I would say that that's better than what we were looking at with Dante Jackson. I'm a little concerned about how diminutive that guy is. He's very, very small. So this could be somebody who could push for a starting outside corner job if the Dante Jackson experiment falls flat on its face.
Yeah. The only question here in my mind is, again, you have to remember we're also going to be bringing in a technical rookie in Corey Trice. Corey Trice is going to be technically his first year, his rookie year this year, because he didn't play all last year because of the IR thing. So, again, I mean, that would bring in two guys technically this year to see what you can get out of them. Dante Jackson at this point, I think, has an almost assured spot on the team. I shouldn't even say almost. He's for sure getting a spot on the team. But bringing someone in that could try to push him to, you know, a different position or a backup, again, not a day one starter, but some of these corners come out and perform well. And we've seen corners who get drafted late, not for Pittsburgh recently, but corners who get drafted late perform well in the NFL and fight for starting jobs year one. So I like the pick. Not Cooper DeJean, but I like the pick.
If I could have had Cooper DeJean at pick 119, I would have. But yeah, I don't think that's happening in any world. And again, the reason I went with Cam Hart here is I know Tomlin likes to pulling guys to bring in competition. He doesn't like anybody to think that they've got the job day one unless they absolutely are assured of it. And even then, he likes to push them. So that was the thought process there behind Cam Hart. With pick 178, I went with Josh Proctor out of Ohio State. He's a safety, addressing another need here. Nothing too crazy. It's a sort of a flyer, a hope that he'll be able to be either a developmental piece or a diamond in the rough, maybe pull a Puka Nacua situation and end up being way better than anyone ever expected him to be. Although Nacua did have some early grades before injury concerns, but I'm hoping Proctor can kind of be a similar situation here, step up and be a starting safety for us going long term. But again, just addressing a need later in the draft.
Definitely a position needs addressed, in my opinion. So you got a good size kid here. Josh going 6'1.5", 199. Ran a 4.55 40, so not too bad on his speed for a safety. So you're getting another person in that room, which you at some point in time got to start taking shots on the draft, right? They're just, I mean, other than a few years back taking that kid in the seventh round that they were using more as a corner than they did a safety, they're not taking swings at safety. So you need to start taking some swings rather than just constantly bringing in free agents and kind of low-level ones at that. I do like Deshaun Elliott. I think he could turn out to be pretty decent for us. But, again, at some point in time, you got to swing the bat. So I like taking the bat off of your shoulders and swinging at safety here.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with James. Again, this guy is not a coverage guy. He's not. He's going to allow basically come in and allow Minka to be Minka. He'll be the run support guy, covering kind of the middle of the field, lower if he plays any kind of zone, or if we do cover two, obviously he'll be deep. But not a coverage guy, not someone we're looking to get picks or interceptions, kind of more of just a guy who's going to be playing as a support in case something gets too far downfield.
Yeah, and that was kind of what a lot of what the scouting report was saying on him. You know, he kind of fills that role a little better. So if he can end up doing that, the higher level, the next level in the NFL, awesome. And then Minka can be Minka. So that's what I'm hoping for him. And then with the last pick that we've got, pick 195, I ended up going for another D tackle just because I thought we were a little short on the position. I would go for Logan Lee out of Iowa. Again, Cam Hayward's not getting any younger, neither is Larry O. So don't think this guy's obviously going to be a day one starter. Just another swing of the bat, as James kind of said, but kind of shoring up what I thought was a thinner position on the roster, and hopefully he can be a decent backup and make the team.
Yeah.
Logan's definitely one of those dudes. Cody, you want to go first?
Yeah, I mean, he's a big guy, 6'5", 281, a little lighter than I think you'd kind of want. I mean, he's big, he's lean, he's more – seems. I mean, he's got a big build. If you haven't – I mean, I watched his 40 time. He ran, I think, a 5.05, which is – decent for his size. Did 25 reps on the bench, decent strength there. I don't think he's a guy that's going to come in and immediately secure a roster spot, but again, in a position where we're so limited on who we have, there's a chance that, like James talks about all the time, lump of clay, bring a guy in, see what you can mold him into. He has the upper body strength to move people. He has the quickness to get around people. I think it's just a matter potentially of technique. Maybe he can come in and learn something from Cam Hayward, Keanu Benton, even though he's, you know, Keanu Benton's only going to be going into year two. But hopefully come in and get some coaching and maybe be coached up into a good player. And I miss having a beard on the defensive line. This guy has a decent beard. If Brett Kiesel gets in the room with him, maybe he can help him out. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe we see something happen there.
Ah, beard.
So Logan's a great scheme fit here. That's my big thing on this. It's 6'5", 281. That is almost, I mean, it's a hair light for a defensive end at a 3-4, but he's a rookie. I'm not concerned about that. He can put another 5, 10 pounds on pretty easy. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a good move for a late-round guy. And an important thing for Pittsburgh to be considering here, because at this stage, I would say I'm underwhelmed with what we've seen out of Isaiah Loudermilk and also DeMarvin Leal. Neither one of them is popping on the field right now. You're hoping one of the two of these guys, if not both of them, would be high-quality backups that you could see possibly taking over a starting role. right now we're in a situation with both of these guys that if they get one sack in a year, we're excited, and that's not good. You need more than that out of your backup defensive lineman. We need someone to be excited about that we can look at and say, hey, man, this guy can get you a little bit of pass rushing juice. He can get after the quarterback some. I need to see that out of young defensive linemen, and it's just been so sparse with Isaiah Loudermilk and DeMarvin Leal. So let's get him some competition. Let's make sure that seat is really hot at the end of the depth chart on the defensive line, and I'm good with this completely. I like Logan Lee.
Yeah. Overall, good draft. Everyone, let's give him a draft grade. I'm going to say B+. Honestly, that draft is probably an A, honestly.
Oh, yeah. You would say the value you got in those first three picks alone is fantastic, and then you got a bunch of scheme fits afterwards. So I think if the draft were to fall that way, Pittsburgh should be really excited about it. And then you just got to hope that one of the corners, whether it be Cam Hart, Corey Trice, or the other young guy that we picked up off of waivers last year, one of the three of them can turn into another quality starter. Because right now we're missing that nickel starter, right? We don't have a nickel corner right now. So we need somebody to be able to fill into that role.
Well, and now it's time, the second mock draft of the day.
Hey, I know a guy might be willing to do one for
me. Know a guy. Here we go.
So the Steelers got rid of one of my favorite receivers in Diontae Johnson. So I had to, at pick 20, get a new Johnson. And I was lucky enough to draft Jackson Powers Johnson, offensive center out of Oregon. We all know that the Steelers need a quality center. We haven't had a good player at center since Marquise Pouncey. Kendrick Green was embarrassing. Mason Cole, mm-hmm. I was hoping to do a lot better, but towards the end of the year, he just totally stunk. I mean, Johnson Powers Johnson, 6'3", 328. Also on the board at that spot was J.C. Latham out of Alabama, 6'5", 342. Right tackle, I mean, I really wanted to get that that right tackle. Just know that whoever's playing quarterback is going to be protected on their blind side. But I believe that it starts at the center position.
Yeah. I like it. I mean, James, we've obviously talked about we talked about when he drafted the previous draft had the number two center. We need a center. We don't have someone who's capable of starting. Jackson Powers Johnson would be a day one starter, would come in and play immediately, give us that strength in the center of the offensive line. The only downfall, I think, with him is I would like to see if he can pull a little bit better. He's not exactly a pulling center. We got to see a lot of Marquise Pouncey pulling and able to get out in front lead block. I don't see Powers Johnson being quite that good at that yet. But again, something you can learn, something you can train, something you can get better at. I like that.
The key here for me is the second name out of the three names he's got here. Jackson Powers Johnson. Power. This man's game is power. He's a power center. He mauls people in the running game. He's got an extremely strong anchor. Same exact arm length as Zach Frazier, so you're not gaining or losing anything, whichever one of those guys you go with. He is the consensus number one center in the draft. I think if you take him, this is way different from previous years. The last few years, top center has been this undersized guy over and over, short arms, 290 pounds, all this stuff that I don't want at center. I don't want a guy that Cam Hayward talks about loving going against guys that size. I want somebody that is on top of the defensive lineman at the end of the play, not laying on his back with the offensive or the defensive lineman on top of him. That's exactly what you get with a guy like this. We've been talking for a couple of years now, Cody, about bringing back the nasty on the offensive line. Jackson Powers Johnson would bring back the nasty. We got it already in Broderick Jones.
Yep.
Broderick Jones is a mauler in the run game. This is another guy who absolutely dominates the human being in front of him. I'm 100% in on Jackson Powers Johnson.
I will say this too. I see him being available at that pick.
It's possible.
I see him being available unless Philadelphia trades up to get him.
It's about the right sweet spot, but I think the Eagles are planning on using Landon Dickerson at center. They're just sliding him over.
Okay.
He was a center at Alabama in college, so they just moved him to guard because obviously you're not going to move Kelsey.
Yeah.
But you could see somebody taking him and saying, hey, I'm going to play him at because he is that size that he can handle guard just fine.
Yeah.
So I think that's the wild card with him is anybody that needs a guard or center could prioritize him as the number one interior guy.
Not that PFN's analytics mean anything, but he went, I believe, a pick before Pittsburgh in the draft that I had. So not available at that point, but like James said, he's got that versatility, so might get pulled over.
It's the sweet spot for him. Every mock I see, it's basically between like 15 and 22, 23 where he goes.
If he's there, I know a hit on this pick for sure.
Jump on him.
All right, what you got?
Pick 51. I don't know how you fellas are going to feel about this. I think he's a sleeper. I haven't seen a lot of tape on him.
Sleeper at number
but
two.
But we're going to go defensive tackle out of Clemson. Rook Orohoro.
James is happy.
Orohoro. His name is Orohoro, and I love him.
But here's the thing. Cam Hayward isn't getting any younger.
I hate it.
You don't like the pick?
No, I'm playing, bro. I absolutely love it. Continue. I'm sorry.
Hayward isn't getting any younger. I think if we can bring a young guy who is 6'4", 294 into our defense and learn under a future Hall of Famer, I think that's great. Leal, as well as Loudermilk, has not played out. I mean, the guy's explosive, and I also saw that he can play multiple positions. So later in the season, when injuries add up, as they did last year, I mean, hopefully we can plug this guy right in. That being said, I wanted to go Patrick Paul out of Houston. Mm-hmm. The only problem is he plays left tackle, and we already have a left tackle in Jones. And I'm not completely sold on Dan Moore yet.
You shouldn't be.
No.
So I feel like if we keep Dan Moore where he is and keep playing Jones at right tackle, I think picking Rook Orohoro, I can't say his name. I really like that pick. I mean, Patrick Paul, though, 6'7", 331. Would be perfect with Arthur Smith's offense. So,
Cody, if you don't mind, I'm going to go first.
I already knew you were.
My excitement about certain players in this draft is top. This is one of those guys, man. And I don't think they'll necessarily do it, but Clemson is one of the other schools that both Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan went to. There's a possibility a guy like this could be on the radar in the first round if certain players they don't like in other areas are gone already. From a measurable perspective, he is one of the best fits you could find for a defensive end for Pittsburgh at 6'4", 294, with 34-inch long arms. We're talking Keanu Benton length now. This is a prototypical D end with a 4'8", 940. Are you kidding me?
Woo!
At that size, a 4'8", 9.
29.
So high-end athleticism, can get after the quarterback, can play the run, has the length to disengage with offensive linemen. Man, just cut Larry Ogunjobi right now if you draft this kid.
Yeah, my big thing is just don't let him go. Huh? What'd you say, Noah?
I'm sorry. Nothing. Go ahead.
My big thing is just don't let him go to Baltimore. I don't want to see this guy twice a year. So again, I mean, I like the pick, big body, massive body, long arms. Again, with those 34-inch long arms and putting up 29 reps on the bench is incredible. James just reached that arm off the screen. If you're not watching on YouTube, you're missing out. Go watch on YouTube, subscribe. It's a good time. But again, I mean, the big thing here is the Cam Hayward thing. Cam Hayward wants to play his career out. Like, he wants to play until his contract's up and no one will re-sign him and the Pittsburgh Steelers won't re-sign him. You know that by now. But he's going to start slowing down at some point. It's going to happen. The benefit he has right now is he has Alex Highsmith and TJ Watt taking a lot of double teams. Cam Hayward still gets them, don't get me wrong. But getting someone new in here to learn, like Noah said, under a guy like Cam Hayward and learn the technique and the style of play from the Steelers' defensive line, I like the pick. I think it's a solid pick at that time. And again, like you said, I'm sure some people are seeing this guy sneak into earlier, you know, in the draft than this position. So I like it.
So pick three. I don't know how you fellas are going to feel about this.
Here we go. Here comes the wide receiver.
We got a wide receiver out of Alabama. And we went Jermaine Burton. So, 6 foot, 196. Steelers obviously need a wide receiver. I watched the tape on this guy. And we already have somebody that will go deep. Jermaine Burton's tape looked really good. I mean, sure hands. He will catch the 50-50 ball. Again, we already have that. Who I really wanted to get and I was hoping fell into the third round was Xavier Leggett. Unfortunately, I couldn't get that. Second round, I also wanted to go Troy Franklin, just a speedy route runner. I was also tempted to go with the GOAT son and get Brendan Rice or Malik Washington. But I don't remember the last time the Steelers got a wide receiver out of Alabama. And I just know that they can produce. So that's who I went with.
Cody, you want to go first on this one? I've been greedy.
No, that's okay. I mean, I like the wide receiver pickup. I like the fact that he's quick, he's speedy, he's athletic. The big fear here is his ability to block. I don't know how much of a blocker he was in college. I'm sure it wasn't quite enough. That's my biggest concern here. I like the fact that, I mean, we do need a wide receiver, whether we continue to sign free agents or get an undrafted guy. I would like to see us add one or two more wide receivers to bring into camp. It will happen. But this guy comes in 6 foot, good size, 4.45, very, very fast. 38.5 on the vertical jump, 11.1 on the broad. He's athletic. I just don't know as far as the scheme fit if his ability to run interior routes without showing too much is there or not. And again, the blocking is the big thing. Pittsburgh loves their blocking wide receivers in a run-heavy offense.
Yeah, I think this is a good size kid. You know, he's not small, he's not huge, but it's the right size. I like that speed. 4.45 is fantastic. And those jumps that Cody just mentioned, that's a really good broad jump and a really good vertical jump, which typically means explosiveness. Guys with really good explosiveness, typically good at separation. So I think this is probably a good sign for his athleticism. I kind of wonder right out of the gate, is he good return man? Because those kind of measurements kind of scream return man to me. I know that I'm thinking with the new rules, maybe running backs make more of a sense than wide receivers. But I think this would be a pretty solid pickup of a guy that could probably push for a starting gig right away opposite of George Pickens. And I think personally that it is still a position needs addressed for Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Let's hear what you got in pick four.
So this is my favorite pick of the draft. One of them.
Oh, here we go.
This guy makes me want to run through a wall. When I think of Pittsburgh Steelers at the linebacker position, this guy screams Pittsburgh Steeler. That's where I'm at with this. We're going to go all the way down to Florida. We're going to go with James Williams, linebacker, 6'4", 231. Can also play safety. This guy has a hard-hitting mindset. Now, I hope he's not somebody who's going to do a hip drop tackle, but I know if you come over the middle, he's going to hit you. I mean, I just love this pick. Again, he's versatile. He can move throughout the defense. We saw, I believe it was the Colts game when the Steelers were wearing thin at safety. I mean, somebody who can learn from Patrick Queen and from an elite defense could get plugged right into that safety position and compete. I love this pick.
James, go ahead.
My bad, I was muted. Dogs, you know, probably a few times already in the show. So quick question for you. Are you original on both of these right now?
James, your mic's cutting out.
Are you still original picks, or are you trading on any of these?
I didn't trade in any of my
okay,
picks.
Okay, cool. So you're staying, the whole thing is the okay. Normal picks. Okay, cool.
Pick 98.
James, what you think about this one?
It's a projection, right? Because he played safety in college. Basically, what they said is they don't think he's fast enough to continue safety at the pro level, so you're going to move him to linebacker. The key for me when you move a guy from safety to linebacker is he going to be able to disengage when a guard or a tackle gets their hands on him? He's got great length, 33 5/8-inch long arms. So he just needs to learn the position in the fourth. It's basically a fourth round pick. It's a compensatory third at 98 there. You're getting somebody who has potential. We need to restock this linebacker room. And you would think a guy with this kind of size and pretty good speed, you know, 4.65 is decent speed for a linebacker. I would say very good for a linebacker, decent speed for a safety. Should be good on third down, fourth down, and long situations. Stick a guy like that out there with Patrick Queen. I think you're going to break up some passes and get some interceptions. That really, really eliminates angles and areas of the field that can be attacked by the opposing offense when you've got a guy that big with that kind of reach and athleticism. So I think the potential upside on passing downs with a guy like this is very high.
And another reason why I was huge on picking him is because I know that the Steelers have had trouble with their linebackers covering the tight end or sometimes the running backs. I mean, this guy's a natural safety. I'm just hoping he can cover.
Yeah,
I think needs to be able to cover a tight end. I don't care about the wide receivers.
Yeah, I think in a man defense, this guy would perform very well, probably right off the bat. In zone coverage, I think if in the things that I've read about him and everything, he struggles to read zone coverage and understand where players are going. Again, this guy, I mean, it's James. It's what you look for. It's a lump of clay. It's a guy that can come in and learn a new position. You can mold him to what you want him to be. You can create him to how you want him to be. Very interesting pick here. Again, safety to middle linebacker conversion doesn't always go well, but I like that better than the alternate, trying to convert someone who played middle linebacker in college. In some of the new faster style defenses, they're using bigger, faster guys that can make that conversion over. I prefer safety to middle linebacker than linebacker to safety. Again, if this guy can come in and has the long arms, like James said, and can learn to disengage and be able to go stop and help the run and is willing to take a hit over the coming out through the middle. I like the pick. I mean, you said he makes you want to run through a wall. So maybe I got to look more. Maybe I got to go look up some more tape. So I'll definitely do that when we're done here with the show. But a pick that is interesting, not one that I thought about a whole lot, but it's very interesting. I like it.
So with pick 119, I'm going to go all the way back to Oregon. I'm going to go Kyrie Jackson, cornerback. Corey Trice, this is his rookie season. I do know that Corey has had problems with his ACL tears in the past, so that's definitely a concern for me. Joey Porter Jr. Is our number one corner. We need somebody. I don't know how I feel about Dante Jackson. I know he's a vet, but he's getting up there in age. I like the pick of Kyrie Jackson, 6'3", 194. I believe he has a lot of upside. I watched a little bit of his tape. It looked pretty good. Some things that I saw on him is that he's good at tracking the football and high-pointing them, so he makes contested catches harder for the receiver. And I believe that's just something that the Steelers could use at this position right now.
James? James wants me to go.
Sorry. Doug. Sorry. So, Kyrie Jackson, another one we're. So that's exactly what we're getting with
James,
Kyrie.
Say that one more time. Jackson.
Prototypical size.
Yep.
This started with Joey Porter Jr., right? We're looking for the big, tall, long dudes. 6'3 and 6'8, almost 6'4, 194, 32 and 3/4 inch long arms, and a 4'5 flat 40. Very similar to what we're looking at from Nick's mock draft with Cam Hart. A little bit taller. Very similar mold of guy. Pittsburgh seems to love this size right now, which is why acquiring Dante Jackson was such a weird question mark, because he's so small in comparison. But he fits what you're looking for in size. He can shut down with his length and in height one side of his field, most likely. So I think it's a nice pick. I think there's some real possibility there of possibly rounding out that top three in the cornerback position with a guy like him.
Yeah. I like it. Again, a taller corner kind of gives you an upper hand going against certain players that we have to face often. If you think about Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, these fast guys on these other teams that we play. I mean, in the AFC, the road to the Super Bowl is through Kansas City. It's through Miami a little bit, not exactly. But, I mean, Tyreek Hill, you got to be able to take him on. This is someone that even if you get beat by someone with 4.3 speed at 4.5, you got to imagine he can keep up enough to high point a ball above some of these faster guys. So, again, I view this very similar to the last one. It's lump of clay, a guy that comes in. You can kind of mold him how you want, get him to see if he's a fit. Not a day one starter, but again, this late in the draft, you're not often getting day one starters. And a cornerback position, again, something we need to address. We don't have that second starter right now for sure. Nickel starter. So. Got to see what we can do. Got to see who can perform in that position. Another option here.
Pick 178. We're going to go to Kansas. We're going to go Kenny Logan Jr., safety. This guy, I don't believe is going to be even close to a starter to begin with. That being said, he makes tackles in space. He's disruptive in the passing game. And the biggest thing that I saw on him is that he could be a very good first-year special teamer. I mean, we already have one of those in Miles Killebrew. It seems like that's where Miles' home is going to be. We don't know what he has at safety. Steelers need somebody besides Minka. Again, Minka, a vet. He knows what he's doing. Maybe Kenny can come in here and really learn something from him and hopefully be something. So,
yeah.
No. You got me on this one. Looks like a non-combine invite.
Yeah, so. Non-combine invite. He had five years of college play. He started in 2019 with Kansas, stayed with them for all 5 years through 2023. No notable like stat lines or statistics that I'm seeing. Seems like he was either a special teams player or maybe just not as involved again if from the safety position in the passing game. Last year alone, 64 solo tackles, 1 forced fumble, 1 interception, and 6 pass breakups. Interesting to see here. He had over 100 tackles both of his previous 2 years, 2021, 2022. So he's not afraid of, you know, getting involved and making hits, which is exciting. The big thing here is in my opinion, the forced fumbles. He had one one of his last 4 years. And again, those interceptions, the first year he didn't have any, then he went 2-1, 2-1. So he's getting involved. He's probably got some kind of eye for the ball or ability to be at the right place, right time, which quite frankly, a large part of that is football IQ. And maybe he's sneaky and has that. And I'm not sure. Again, you got me here. You got James here, not someone on our radar, but someone that we'll be watching out for now.
So last pick. I had to go quarterback.
Here we go.
Here's the thing. We know what we have in Russ. Let's just say he goes in, it's week 6, and it's not looking good. We're probably going to plug Justin in. We'll see where we go with that. Here's the thing. I'm not a big fan of Kyle Allen. I mean, he's been passed around for a reason. So I went all the way to South Alabama. And I believe the Steelers met with this guy, Carter Bradley. I believe he's a sleeper. I almost went with Sam Hartman. The only thing that really deterred me is that Sam Hartman is 6'1", 211, and Carter Bradley's 2 inches taller at 6'3", 218. This is the Steelers' last pick of the draft. This guy can come in and learn under a Super Bowl winning quarterback in Russell Wilson, and as well as a younger player in Justin Fields. Something that kind of deterred me is that he's 24 years old. I would like a younger quarterback, but I hope we never get to that, to having to put our third string quarterback in there. But again, for the possible future, I like this pick.
James, you want to go first?
Be Kyle Allen out in training camp.
I think it's a smart move because the way Pittsburgh is with offering undrafted free agent contracts, they don't get the pick of the crop. So if you're going to bring in a rookie, you might as well take a shot with one of these six-round picks at quarterback. So I like the idea. I think bring somebody in for competition. Got to have somebody run this rookie training camp. Why not Carter Bradley, man? I think good idea. He's got a great completion percentage in college, which typically translates well to the NFL. I think that's a good move. I think it's a good move. I think Pittsburgh should highly consider taking a quarterback either fourth round or beyond. Fourth or sixth round, I think we should be looking at a quarterback because you need, if nothing else, a backup quarterback for 2025 to whoever the hell the starting quarterback is going to be. Because right now, none of these guys under contract are under contract past 2024. So we got no clue what's going on. And it sure would be nice to have somebody in 2025 that was already on the roster in 2024 in the quarterback room. So I think it's a good decision and seems like a talented guy. Don't know a ton about him, but looks like he's got some skill.
Yeah. What do you got to say, Noah?
Nothing. I mean, I think you guys said it best. I think it would be unwise for the Steelers not to draft a quarterback. Again, God forbid we get to the our third string quarterback and it's Kyle Allen coming in. So.
Yeah. So we are super excited for the draft. Obviously, we can't thank these guys enough for joining us and sharing their drafts. If you guys think their drafts went well, if you guys think their drafts was no bueno, just let us know. And we'll be excited to do one of mine or James next week. Maybe both of ours. We'll figure that out moving forward. But again, thank these guys so much for joining us, Noah and Nick Pretzel. And again, yeah, claps for them. Claps for them. Wave that terrible towel, Noah. And again, thank you guys so much for watching or listening if you're on YouTube. Make sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Subscribe and ring the bell. It's free. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, with Nick and Noah, signing off.
Peace.